calling me Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
There's no sweeter sound than that of your own name buried in cheers and applause. No. Culture wars is a kind of common phrase, isn't it? Although I see no evidence whatsoever of a war, I only see a culture being annihilated. The latest casualty is a silly Christmas song. Actually, there's nothing in it about Christmas. It's merely about a cold winter's night and two people who want to screw. The guy is ardent, and the woman is coy. The song is 75 years old, and it's just been banned, by a radio station in Cleveland. Here's a piece of it. I'm sure you'll recognize it.
Really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you drop
so very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like ice.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your
My
hurry?
My father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't
well,
hurry.
Well, maybe just a half a drink more. Put
the most current version might be the one recorded by Michael Bublé and Idina Menzel. The one you just heard was from a 1949 movie called Neptune's Daughter, starring Esther Williams and Ricardo Montalban. You know him. He drove Captain Kirk batshit crazy in Star Trek II. He also ran Fantasy Island with that dwarf, Tattoo. The reason I played the movie version is there's a video along with the audio, and I'll be damned if I can see any rape going on there, or anything even remotely rapey. That's a fascinating word right there, rapey. I wonder if it's been admitted to the Oxford Dictionary. Rapey sounds like grapey, like a Gatorade flavor or something. Sounds kind of juvenile, childish. Why are all the speech police okay with the word rapey? It makes light of a really ugly crime, doesn't it? But they still use it. They never police their own moronic language, do they? But then I suppose people with the intellectual firepower of three-year-olds who coined and used the term rapey aren't really applying it to the term rape, just to something adjacent or maybe tangential to rape. Which could be anything, right? Oh, look at that Venetian blind pull cord. That looks rapey. Or that windowless panel truck. That could be a mobile rape dungeon. Ooh, there's a bottle of scotch. Could be part of a rape kit. I'm going to say I told you so, because I did tell you so back in episode 117. Alice Cooper, Commies, and Closure. In that show, I listed a bunch of songs that have been declared offensive and inappropriate by all the little manlets and squirrely girls out there who think their feelings, their suspicions, should determine what words we can say, what literature we can read, what art we can view, and what music we can enjoy. Even Christmas music. This is only the beginning, folks. Is there a war on Christmas? Maybe. But there is unquestionably a war on common sense and free speech. Now that there's a foot in the door on this goofy song from 1944, back when rape was legal, right? There will be a wholesale push to wipe Christmas off the planet. Maybe you're thinking, oh, Larry, now you've gone off the deep end, get yourself medicated. But have I? I'll tell you exactly how they will achieve their goal and render Christmas a shameful and taboo holiday a little later in the show. So this song, Baby It's Cold Outside, is a cute kind of kitschy take on seduction in a wintry setting. And we can assume the setting is après date, that he has invited the woman back to his place maybe for a nightcap, and he wants more than a drink. And so does she. But she's got to play the good girl card, because that's what women did in 1944, even women who fucked like minks. So there's this push-pull, back-and-forth dialogue. Ooh, did I say push-pull? Did that sound rapey or just sexual? I guess it's all in the shading, huh? But as much as this woman protests, and make no mistake about it, in this movie, Esther Williams is no girl. She's a mature woman. She doesn't really seem to want the night to end. Let's take a closer look at these lyrics. She says,
"Well, maybe just a half a drink more."
Well, maybe just a half drink more. And she says,
"Well, I ought to say no, no, no."
I ought to say no, 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 sir. The operative words being, I ought to. Ought to is not no. Then she says,
"I wish I knew how."
Her eyes are like stars right now.
"To break this spell."
I wish I knew how to break this spell. Well, that would be easy. No magic necessary. Just walk out the door. But she really doesn't want to leave, does she? Because she's as hot for him as he is for her. And she says,
"Well, maybe just a cigarette more."
Never. Well, maybe just a cigarette more. And finally, after all the teasing, and that's exactly what she's doing, denying him access because that's how to build enough heat to spontaneously combust. "Okay, fine. Just another drink then." That was the second to last line in the original lyric. So it's a done deal. They're going to be the beast with two backs for some toe-curling action. Not only are the snowflakes who claim this song is rapey, stupid fucking morons, at the same time, they infantilize women. She's all grown up. She's playing him like a marlin. And any time she wants, she can put on her fur coat, step outside, and leave him with a pair of Yuletide blue balls. But the rapey fucktards undermine all her power and reduce her to an idiot who is incapable of controlling the situation and the man. This duet has been sung by Dolly Parton and Rod Stewart, Michael Bublé and Idina Menzel. Somebody called Chris Colfer and Darren Criss on an episode of Glee. You can bet your ass I missed that rendition. I'll post that video where you can watch it for yourself at the show homepage at thatlarryshow.com. So what was it specifically that made Star 102 Radio in Cleveland ban that song? Well, here's what the afternoon drive time boss jack, Glenn Anderson, said about it.
"Now, I do realize that when that song was written in 1944, it was a different time, but now, while reading it, it seems very manipulative and wrong. The world we live in is extra sensitive now, and people get easily offended, but in a world where hashtag MeToo has finally given women the voice they deserve, the song has no place."
Really? No place at all, Glenn? Well, 1944 was a long time ago, and times have changed, and so has music. Here's a song by a rapper named 6ix9ine. The work is called Gummo, and it's racked up 315 million YouTube views. I've no idea how many downloads, but it's gotta be a fuck ton.
"Crails in my drawers, your girl on my phone. She wanna fuck but keep her clothes on. I only want the joke. Man, that's really all I use her for, to kick her out the door. I don't want her, you could keep the horse, she feeding for some more."
Here's the transcript in case you had trouble deciphering the romantic lyrics. "On the stoop, krills in my drawers." Krills, I think, is rock cocaine. "Your girl on my phone. She wanna fuck but keep her clothes on. I only want the jaw. Man, that's really all I use her for. I kick her out the door. I don't want her. You can keep the whore. She fiendin' for some more." I wonder if Glenn Anderson and the fine folks from Star 102 in Cleveland think that song has no place in our new hashtag MeToo society where women have a voice. Seems DJ Glenn is quite a wordsmith himself. According to the WDOK website, maybe they left the R out there, D-O-R-K, huh? Glenn is known as Glenn the Funny Songman due to his numerous parody songs that he writes, produces, and sings. His songs have been featured both nationally and locally and have been endorsed by Weird Al. Okay, here's a piece of Glenn's biggest hit entitled Cleveland I Desire.
Cleveland I Admire. Yes, we once were down, but now we're going higher. Cleveland I Desire. Don't bring up the fact that once our lake caught fire.
Wow. Weird Al not only endorsed Glenn Anderson, he probably figured he might as well retire. Hand his song parody crown to Glenn, huh? I don't mean to be too tough on Glenn. The guy's a DJ. Maybe the program director or station manager twisted his arm and made him an involuntary or reluctant SJW. That's entirely possible. I wonder how many people actually called in to bitch about that song. And if those same guardians of femininity are outraged by 6ix9ine and his tune, Gummo. Or hundreds of other hip-hop songs considered to be racist, misogynist, homophobic, and all the other ists and obics. Personally, I don't give a shit what lyrics any artist writes or sings. I won't be waiting for 6ix9ine's next drop, but clearly millions of people will. And if that's what they want to listen to, that's okay with me. Anyone that doesn't like 6ix9ine does not have to buy or listen. But all those SJWs reeing about a 75-year-old innocuous Christmas song and not reeing about Gummo, well, they are hypocritical piles of shit who should be scooped up with a backhoe and plopped into the piss tank. What's the piss tank? It's an invention of mine, a holding tank about the size of the LA Coliseum, and it's filled with cat piss, heated to a boil. And the interior walls are polished steel, so once you're in there, you can tread water, or tread piss, I should say, until the flesh boils off your bones, or you run out of energy, whichever comes first. Yeah, that's how I feel about PC shitbags who want to tell us what we can listen to or read, and so on. So these goobers at WDOK in Cleveland may have started a trend. No sooner had their fuckery begun trending than others are now going after the stop-action animation classic, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. They say it condones bullying, endorses the patriarchy, misogyny, and on and on and on it goes. So it begs the question, is nothing sacred to these fuckballs? And the answer is, other than their cultural Marxist agendas, no. As a kid, I read all of Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tales, and one of my favorites was The Snow Queen. The Snow Queen is just a fantastic story, redolent with spiritual and Christian meaning, but you don't have to be Christian to dig it. Anyone would be touched by its universal appeal. It's about the danger of spiritual corruption and redemption and good versus evil and the mercy of God and friendship and the love of good people. And The Snow Queen has been made into a few movies. The first was produced in the Soviet Union in 1957 and has some pretty damned amazing animation for that time and place. Of course, the commies eliminated every trace of the spiritual side of Anderson's story. The Snow Queen was also the basis for the Disney monster hit Frozen. My kids forced me to see that, and I have to say that Disney fucked up the story even worse than the Ruskies. I know it clipped 2 Oscars, but I found it unwatchable. But then, I was hardly their target audience. The original story by Anderson opens describing a huge mirror built by the devil himself. And any image that is reflected in that mirror becomes hideous. The most beautiful landscape resembles boiled spinach. A freckle on someone's face will cover the entire face like a tumor, and so on. And one day a couple of Satan's demons decide to fly this mirror up to heaven to see if they can piss off God, and they accidentally drop it, and it shatters into billions of tiny pieces that blow around the globe. And one tiny speck of glass from that poisonous mirror gets lodged in the eye of a little boy, and it immediately transforms him into a heartless prick. And from that moment on, everything he sees is ugly and offensive. Sound familiar? Maybe Anderson was a prophet. Or maybe it was deliberate allegory. The most evil prick who ever lived, bar none, was a contemporary of Anderson's. And Karl Marx's evil was already gaining traction throughout Europe. Maybe that mirror was the evil that is Marxism. Or not. But it really does seem as if all PC pukes, snowflakes, SJWs, and commies view the world through a prism of glass from that mirror, doesn't it? Everything that is good and uplifting and wholesome and inspiring and, dare I say it, hallowed, they want to tear down and shit on. As I said earlier, I see no culture war or even a battle in progress. It's just a fucking rout. Some twisted, chronically aggrieved assholes in Cleveland call a radio station and bitch about a harmless song, a song that no one had a problem with for three-quarters of a fucking century. And the station pulls it with apologies. Ooh, everyone just rolls over for these scumbags. Never any pushback. When the fuck are people going to tell these pieces of shit to pound sand up their pinworm-infested assholes and then jump into the piss tank, What would have happened if that station manager had ignored their complaints? Or told them, "Hey, no problem. When that song comes on your radio, turn down the volume." But no, he or she bent over and stretched their ass. And so the fucked up, whining few, once again, got to decide what the rest of us gets to hear. Maybe we all need to carry around a ringtone on our phones as a ready answer to all these douchebags. "Oh, you don't like my song, or my statue, or my flag, or my book, or my movie? You find it offensive and inappropriate? Well, here's my response.
Suck my dick."
That, of course, was the fabulous Cardi B. I just love that chick's take-no-shit attitude. So now comes the big reveal. At the top of the show, I mentioned that they, and you know who they are, commie shitbags, and they are all commie shitbags, whether even they know it or not, Marxism is the source of all PC thought and behavior. I'm telling you now, they are coming after Christmas. And it's not going to be the piddling shit we've seen argued over, like Happy Holidays versus Merry Christmas, or Salvation Army Santas ejected from the parking lots of Target stores, or Rudolph and bullying, or allegedly rapey songs. No, that's all small potatoes, chicken shit, shots across the bow. I have seen the big argument, the SJW's secret weapon, the atomic bomb, just starting to percolate online over the past few years. And when I tell you what it is, you may say, "That's fucking preposterous." But 25 years ago, they would have thought it preposterous that Sears would be bankrupt and an invisible storm named after a jungle would be where everyone would buy everything. Or self-driving cars. Here's what they're loading their bomb bays with, folks. God is a pedo and a rapist. I'm seeing that more and more. There's Mary, a 14-year-old girl. 14! A minor, a child. And one night, God sends his muscle angel, Gabriel, to tell her that God's gonna knock her up, whether she likes it or not. And she's gonna have God's rape baby, no ifs, ands, or abortions. And then Big Gabe even tells her what she's going to name that baby. That narrative's getting traction. It might take a year or a decade, but that twisted PC shit is not going away. And you'll see it really pick up kinetic energy when some asshole, might be a priest, maybe a preacher or a deacon, or some academic theologian, apologizes. That's always the wedge in the wall. Some spineless, obsequious pissant decides to kiss ass and kowtow, and presto, the rest of the jackals are now emboldened and rally round their diseased cause. That's how it happens. I really wonder when somebody, somewhere, is going to draw the line and say, fuck off. We don't care if you're offended. We want you to be offended. We want you to be uncomfortable. We want you to cringe. We want you to gnash your teeth and scream and re and pop a vein in your brain and stroke out and die in a puddle of your own piss. That's what we want. Merry Christmas. At the end of the original sci-fi flick, The Thing, they said,
keep watching the skies.
For UFOs, of course. We've got to keep watching Reddit and Facebook and Twitter and load our phones with
suck my dick
and hold the fucking line. Take no more shit from these assholes. Maybe start a GoFundMe to have a piss tank built somewhere. Where will we get 8 million gallons of cat piss? Well, one dream at a time. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. I just posted a bonus episode and people are digging it. It's part two of Fiesta Dildos and the Thanksgiving Road Trip. Check it out at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. There you will find 24 more bonus episodes, signed books, and a downloadable one that settles climate change forever, and custom recordings and more. And you can help me fight the cretins, hell-sent and hell-bent on wrecking our world. Swing by thatlarryshow.com for a look at the original video that accompanies Baby It's Cold Outside. It's kind of a hoot. And Esther Williams is pointy. And while you're at the homepage, click the subscribe by email button so you never miss an episode. I'll see you this weekend for Sinner's Sunday, where we'll look at another chapter in the real story of the Nativity. Do it now. Next year might be too late. Until then, take no shit.